Psalm 58. Surrounded by violence and injustice, the psalmist can see little good in the human race. He blames the gods, Babylonian gods, and he calls on Yahweh to act by sweeping the evil away and ensuring a reward for the just. John the Baptist would have been delighted with Psalm 58. When this Messiah comes, the good are going to be here and the bad are going to be there, and there's going to be moral rearmament and all the goodies, and all the people in the Bible Belt will be up to heaven, and all the Catholics and everyone, Jews will all be all bloody or whatever. It's all sorted out. And the way the axe comes in, that's the way the tree will fall, says John the Baptist. So if you're facing that way, and the snakes will have to slither back into the thing and be burnt, because the Messiah is going to come and we're going to know who's good and who's evil. And then Jesus comes. And John the Baptist is very confident in him at the beginning. And then later on when he's in prison, he sends his mates to him and says, hey, are you the bloke, or what are we doing? Because Jesus was there sitting on the ground, he heard about it, sitting there talking to a woman in adultery, and they overheard him say, I do not condemn you. Oh, blow that. And then Jesus is embracing a leper and he's talking to Samaritan women. I mean, talking to women's bad enough, but Samaritan women? What's going on here? You know, and they're accusing him of being a glutton, and because he's all the time going to parties with hoi polloi and the ruffians of the town. You know, I mean, that's bad thing. So John the Baptist is desperately trying to sort all this out, and Jesus says to him, go back and tell John what you see. And then metaphor, of course, yeah, blind people are seeing, blind, not physically so much, but blind, and deaf are hearing, and lame are walking. In other words, people are coming alive. Anyhow, we're back here with Psalm 58. He calls on God to sweep the evil away. That's the best way out of it. Whereas Jesus shows us that God is actually interested in loving them out of their evil, out of our evil. The final verse sums up his sentiment. You have to wait to find out what that is when we get to it. As we pray the psalm, we would do well to reflect on the fact that the evil that the psalmist is complaining about is not all out there. Some of it's in here. And that might be worth a look. And same applies as I make this little suggestion. When we play the Our Father, we say, rescue us from evil. I think Jesus is saying, rescue us from evil. And he's not asking us to check. I mean, we can look out there, but we do better to start by looking in. Because if we get rescued from the evil of our own thing, well, that's a good thing. The world will be very happy with that. Sirach, not a bad little remark from a wise bloke of the 2nd century BC, Sirach 21. When an ungodly person curses Satan, he curses himself. Yeah, so be careful. If you're bad mouthing anybody, you better look in a mirror. I better look in a mirror. Right. First one. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Now, he might be talking about human beings who fancy themselves as gods, but I think he's probably talking about gods, because it's a polytheistic world. Do you judge people fairly? No. In your hearts you devise crimes. Your hands deal out violence on the earth. There it is, the key sin. Violence. And we think we can solve things by it. The wicked go astray from the womb. They err from their birth, uttering lies. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the death adder that stops its ear lest it hear the sound of the snake charmer, expert in casting spells. That animal is called a death adder, but it's also called a death adder. I'm not sure if it's really deaf or apparently deaf. I don't know. I've never met one. So it's probably deaf, I don't know. Anyhow, they thought it was deaf, and so the snake charmer is trying to charm this and can charm the viper. What's that one that goes? Cobra. But the deaf adder just says, So that's what he's talking about. And that's what Jesus is talking about, of course, at the end of Mark's Gospel. You can take poison and it won't hurt you. You can be bitten by snakes and... He's not talking about real snakes. If you drink poison, you're going to get poisoned. Don't take my word for it. And if a snake bites you, you better get a... Is it a Toyota truck you're supposed to get there in time? Yeah. You've seen that ad as well, have you? Well, are you... Okay, to you, the Toyotas, are you? Well, that's it. I'm glad I got it right. Well... But it's talking about, you'll be able to live in a place where there is this stuff, venom of serpents, but it won't. You'll have grace to resist it. You can live beautifully in an ugly place. He's crying out against those whose hearts are corrupt and who act accordingly. They're dead inside. They have no problem in sacrificing the innocent for an ideology, a cause or a party. When they act in an evil way, it's premeditated, deliberate and cold-blooded. Their evil is second nature to them. It doesn't occur to them they're doing wrong, though this takes away neither responsibility nor guilt. Because we have a responsibility to think and to be reflective. And if we're not reflective and don't think and we cause harm, we're responsible for it, of course. They're likened to snakes. I'm just using a few images. The epiphany of evil, the snake in the story of the garden, of course. Now, that image occurs all the way through the Bible too, for obvious reasons. I don't think I need to dwell on that for you. It's a common image, as you can see, just by glancing at the number of texts, and I could give you many more. I will read for you Deuteronomy, though, chapter 32. Deuteronomy is probably older than Exodus, actually, as a written document, but it is a spiritual relook at the oral traditions of Israel. So it's all placed as a last testament of Moses. As he's dying on Mount Nebo, he talks for 40 chapters on behalf of God. So it's looking at, like, the Last Supper discourse of Jesus, really, summing up the whole vision of this wonderful man in these 40 or so chapters. So here in chapter 32, we read, "Their vine comes from the vine stock of Sodom, from the vineyards of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents, the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasuries? Vengeance is mine," this is God, "and recompense for the time when the foot shall slip. Because the day of their calamity is at hand, their doom comes swiftly. When I whet my flashing sword and my hand takes hold of judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries and will repay those who hate me." This is not the God of Jesus talking, but you know that. "I will make my arrows drunk with blood. My sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the long-haired enemy." And the Assyrians or somebody or the Edomites must have had long hair or something, or beards and I don't know what. "Praise, O heavens, his people, worship him, all you gods, for he will avenge the blood of his children and take vengeance on his adversaries. He will repay those who hate him and cleanse the land for his people." No wonder the psalmist writes as he does, because that's the tradition he comes from. Brackets. No wonder so many people who read the Old Testament carelessly and without looking at Jesus can be just as violent and vengeful and in God's name. Hard to blame them. But you might blame their teachers, who now have no excuse but to interpret the scriptures with greater care. Let's read our Psalm 58, verse 6. "O God, break the teeth in their mouths. Yahweh, tear out the fangs of the young lions. Let them vanish like water that runs away. Like grass, let them be trodden down and wither." They're not very happy, can you tell that? "Let them be like the snail that dissolves into slime." Well, he got that wrong, but I suppose if you tread on a snail, it looks like that. "Like the aborted fetus that never sees the sun. Sweep them away like thorn bushes in an unexpected whirlwind, like wild beasts, like a funeral pyre." He's piling on image after image. "The just will rejoice when they see vengeance done. They will bathe their feet in the blood of the wicked. People will say, surely there's a reward for the just. Surely there's a God who judges on the earth. And they're the last words of Psalm 58. And calls to vengeance you find throughout the Bible. I think the key point of it all is that what we do matters. That's what I retain out of it. And that we can't get it, we can't expect to do things and not suffer the consequences of them. The consequences are, however, are what we do to ourselves, not what God does to us. And it matters what we do.